Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. 48 degrees in Greenville this morning. Going to get up to a high of just around 70, and that's about it today. So it's supposed to be partly cloudy, not too bad for our weather today, but good spring day, this second day of May. And I believe the 16th week of Christian Worldview and the Tyranny Response Network's broadcast. So glad you've joined us today. As always, going to have on agenda today a lot of exciting stories and conversation about important topics that are essential thinking for thinking Christians and for the Christian for understanding from a Christian point of view a theology of public policy that is proper. So stay tuned with us this hour and a half. I think you'll be glad that you did. So happy too that we have some very faithful listeners out there. We've had a couple of them even writing in. We're going to be going over some emails that have come through, at least one today, as well as some very important stories that have come up in the Christian Worldview today on the radar screen, specifically how we handle warfare, some new stories about the particulars about the abuses at Guantanamo Bay, as well as the Bush administration now once again eyeing North Korea as its next target in its war of aggression wherever it likes to go. Some news about the public schools today too, and even some funny stories about somewhat humorous stories about the state and how to handle. Just mocking at this at the state leadership. Number of things going on here, folks, today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. To begin the day, I want to remind you all about the Institute on the Constitution. Remember, that's tonight at 6:30 p.m. There's going to be the preliminary. 7 o'clock, the program starts at South Point Baptist Church. That's at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina, the Institute on the Constitution. For information or to register, you can call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443. That's 864-269-1443. In fact, Tony sends Pastor Romo sent this note this morning to Christian Worldview. Just a reminder to everyone about tonight at 6:30 p.m. at South Point Baptist Church. We will be continuing our Institute on the Constitution. We've got some really good and informative classes and discussions previously, and we don't expect tonight's class to be any different. If anyone would like to help with refreshments, you can talk to Veronica Arthur as she can schedule you for a particular Monday. And he continues on with information. If you'd like to find out more about this and how you can help even tonight at the Institute for the Constitution, give Pastor Tony Romo a call at 864-269-1443. If you hadn't had a chance to do so yet, go to policyofliberty.net, scroll down to the Liberty Minutes section on the home page, and click on the link that says Christian Views on Rebellion, Highlighting the American War for Independence. This is a must-listen to before you get into the topics that are covered in the Institute for the Constitution. We would encourage you to spend some time going to that webpage and checking it out. Very important stuff. Also had this letter from a listener, Elizabeth, wanted to comment on this. She sent in a good note to Christian Worldview. She said the following: John, I wanted to once again let you know that TRN and Christian Worldview does have some faithful listeners in the Taylors area. I have noticed this weekend the signal seems to be coming in stronger at my home. Whatever you're doing, it is working. I also noticed that the station has only been broadcasting old Christian Worldview shows throughout the day and was wondering what happened to the other programming. I really enjoyed listening to Dr. John Stadmiller and was wondering if TRN will be airing more of his programming. A variety of shows helps the listeners to stay interested in the station. When shows are repeated over and over, I think that people either tune out what is being said or turn the dial. TRN has had some great programs in the past, and I hope the station will continue to air a variety of conservative, libertarian, Christian views. Elizabeth. Well, I appreciate this email from the listener this morning for a couple of reasons, obviously. First of all, as she correctly noticed, the Tyranny Response Network has been upgrading their signal. And indeed, if you're listening for the first time this morning, it's because we finally got some more power to the signal. I think 50% greater range and power is actually the effective range, from what I was told, at any rate. I don't know anything about all of this, obviously, but 50% further. So if you were getting a weak signal before, you're probably getting a stronger signal for Christian Worldview and for the entire Tyranny Response Network. So we're happy about that. Be on the lookout for even more improvements this week. Apparently, there'll be some things happening around the middle of the week, maybe, and certainly by the weekend, we should have even more power, even more powerful signal, and we should be able to get our news out even better. Also hoping to even reach as far as Spartanburg, of course, Greer and Greenville. And then the other news story is that we're hoping to have a small way to hit, a different way to hit Anderson area. And so you're going to find out that there's going to be, the entire upstate's going to start getting the Christian Worldview show, as well as some of the, as well as the other TRN programming. Now you made a question here, Elizabeth, about the TRN programming, and I wanted to comment about that. Remember, the Tyranny Response Network is a 100% volunteer organization, and unfortunately, when people are not being paid for their work, they do things on a hobby level when they have time. And although people are enjoying listening to the program, and we're glad they are, they have to remember that the staff members that operate TRN have families to support and other things that take precedent at times, unfortunately, over TRN. Now, this can be alleviated and stopped, by the way, if folks out there listening to us this morning can simply find a way in their heart to begin to support TRN financially, so that we can, on a regular basis, begin to pay salaries to people who devote so much time to things. And the answer to your question is why you've been hearing Christian Worldview shows all throughout the day, is there's just simply been nobody available who knows how to do it, and to either find the other different shows to put on, or to go ahead and manage that process. Might sound simple to a listener to be able to put on those other shows, but it actually takes a fair amount of time and dedication. And I appreciate so much our Tyranny Response Network staff and the production folks who do such a good job at getting things rolling. But they can't be relied upon to do things every day and have things up to the minute, because they're just busy trying to support their families and earn a living. So again, if you're interested in helping out the Tyranny Response Network and alleviate this problem, by all means, go to the homepage policyofliberty.net and scroll down to the links that talk about production staff and questions about other programming. Send an email to them and let them know how you're willing to help, and hopefully be able to alleviate this problem we have with not really having enough staff to keep the programming going. In the meantime, Elizabeth, there should be a couple new shows, as I understand, running in the Tyranny Response Network loop throughout the day. But unfortunately, you're not going to find a whole lot of new stuff there even today, and probably won't be for a while. We'll just have the rotation of Christian Worldview shows interspersed within in and out the day. Appreciate the letter, though, Elizabeth. Thanks for the encouragement. It's nice that we have some faithful listeners in the Taylors area, and we hope to continue to broaden that base here at Christian Worldview. We have a couple of quotations from our research staff. Thought I'd mention this to you. We had this one sent up from Major General Patrick Cleburne of the Confederate States of America. He said, "I am with the South in life or death, in victory or defeat. I believe the North is about to wage a brutal and unholy war on the people who have done them no wrong, in violation of the Constitution and the fundamental principles of government. They no longer acknowledge that all government derives its validity from the consent of the governed. They are about to invade our peaceful homes, destroy our property, and inaugurate a servile insurrection, murder of our men and dishonor of our women. We propose no invasion of the North, no attack on them, and only ask to be left alone." Oh, yes, indeed, to be left alone. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And yet the leftist, the liberal, the Yankee does not want to leave us alone. They must meddle. They must be involved. They must control. That is the nature of things, it seems. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to come up to a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we have an announcement. On Tuesday, May 10th, 2005, a special Confederate Memorial Day ceremony will be conducted on campus, the campus of Clemson University. Please tell everyone you can to come out in observance of this day to honor our Confederate ancestors who paid the ultimate sacrifice in defense of their families and their beloved Southland. Service will be held at Tillman Hall, 10 a.m. on May 10th, 2005. All are invited to attend. Please pass this email off to others of your own lists. And you can also call for more information to Henry Hopkins at 864-944-1895. That's 864-944-1895. Well, the public school is back in the news again today, as it usually is. There's almost all never rarely a week goes by we don't have something to say about the public school. I want to go ahead and read this story again, since it's up in the news once again, about this dad who was arrested after protesting the gay book. In case you missed the other show, go ahead and repeat this this story as it evolved, so we can find out a little bit more about it. This was Joseph Estabrook School in the Lexington, Massachusetts area, or less in Lexington, Massachusetts, and Mr. David Parker had confronted officials there after his son had brought home a copy of Who's in a Family, a storybook that includes characters who are homosexual parents, the Boston Herald reported. Parker refused to leave a meeting after the Lexington superintendent, Bill Hurley, rejected his request that he be notified when his son is exposed to any discussion about same-sex households as a part of the classroom instruction. Police arrested Parker for trespassing, and he spent a night in jail before posting a $1,000 personal surety, Boston's WCVB-TV reported. Our parental requests from our own child were flat-out denied. Parker said in a statement, Parker said school officials have continued to tell him he has no right to control whether or not his child is taught about same-sex marriage. What I'm saying is, because of the same-sex marriage law, people are treating it as a mandate to teach the youngest children. It's not a mandate to teach the youngest children, particularly if parents say, hold on, I want to be gatekeeper of the information. It is not that I don't want my child ever to learn it. It's that I want it to control the timing and manner, Parker told the station. Why wouldn't he want? Well, that sounds like kind of like a sellout, doesn't it, from this guy? Either that, or he's just using some sort of a ruse to get out of the problem of being pressured by these people. Anyway, Parker told the TV station, Brian Kamenerker, director of the Traditional Values Organization, Article 8 Alliance. He told the Herald Parker also asked his son to be pulled from discussions involving homosexuality that arise spontaneously. According to the Lexington Minuteman, Parker spoke at a school committee meeting Tuesday and complained the schools have unfettered access to children's psyches. Well, this is absolutely true. Don't they have unfettered access to children's psyches? And if they're run by leftists, by those who love liberal ideas, or those who are trying to dispel the Christian worldview, won't we expect them? Is it any surprise that they're going to treat children in this way? That they're going to talk to them about homosexual lifestyles, about sodomite unions and all these other things that go on in public schools? It's not just alternative lifestyles. Well, that's a big push. It's a huge push there. The environmental wacko doctrine is also there. People are going on with all sorts of excess in the public school about that. False science, like Darwinism, pro-abortion, pro-promiscuity. This is what public schools are all about. And don't say it won't happen in my backyard. It won't happen here in Greenville, for instance. Our public schools are different. They're not, folks. They're just on the same course, maybe a little bit behind because of the cultural pressures around them. Where they would be in Massachusetts, but that's where they're heading, and it's already, the seeds of it are already here in the schools because of what people are required to teach in these schools. Even the best of intention teachers are thwarted if they want to keep their paycheck by what the leftist agenda is, and for they're being forced to talk about certain things that like abortion and the humanist lifestyle and the humanist philosophy. This is what goes on in public schools. We should not be surprised. That dad, if he has any common sense at all after this has happened, ought to be down there today taking his kid out of this school. Well, public schools not only have problems with teaching about sodomite unions, they also have a problem mistaking burritos, it seems, for big burritos, for handguns or for rifles. And here it is on Yahoo News from April 29th. School mistakes a huge burrito for a weapon. A call about a possible weapon at a middle school prompted police to put armed officers on rooftops, close nearby streets, and lock down the school, all over a giant burrito. Someone called authorities Thursday after seeing a boy carrying something long and wrapped into Marshall Junior High School. The drama ended 2 hours later when the suspicious item was identified as a 30-inch burrito filled with steak, guacamole, lettuce, salsa, and jalapenos, and wrapped inside tin foil and a white T-shirt. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry, school principal Diana Russell said. State police, Clovis police, and the Curry County Sheriff's Department arrived at the school shortly after 8:30 a.m. They searched the premises and determined there was no immediate danger. In the meantime, more than 30 parents, alerted by a radio report, descended on the school. Visibly shaken, they gathered around in a semicircle, straining their necks, awaiting news. There needs to be security before the kids walk through the door, said Heather Black, whose son attends the school. After the lockdown was lifted, but before the burrito was identified as the culprit, parents pulled 75 students out of school, Russell said. And you know what? If they're smart, they'll leave them out of school and they'll never put them back in there. Time to pull out of the school on the count of those vicious burritos, if that's what it takes, actually. I wouldn't worry so much about the burritos, but there is true violence that goes on in these public schools, these government indoctrination centers. People have been taught the humanist worldview, the secular humanist ethic, don't behave properly. We have seen that in history, by the way. There's nothing new from go back to pagan Rome or all the way up to Joseph Stalin or any of the other Soviet Union dictators, as well as any other totalitarian state around the world. These are all leftist people. Don't believe the nonsense that Hitler was really a far-right kook. He was also a leftist, part of the Menshevik socialist idea promoted from the disciples of Karl Marx. The leftists are the ones who are violent, who look at humanity as an anthill, are willing to dispel human life and take away people who don't agree with them. They are the brutal, cruel people in the history of the world, the tyrants who seek to do more harm than any other particular group of political leaders. Now, it's not to say that people who do not hold a hard left view cannot be cruel or tyrants. We've seen that as well. But no one has been more vicious than a leftist with a totalitarian club in his hand, and they've shown it time and again. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad that you did this morning, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we want to talk about a few militaristic events going on today in the news and how they relate to the Christian worldview in particular. For instance, we can start with this one. This is a quick one, I think. North Korea missile test raises new fears from Fox News. In Seoul, South Korea, North Korea reporting, North Korea test fired a missile into the Sea of Japan Sunday, just days after U.S. intelligence officials said the secretive Stalinist state had the ability, in theory, to arm a missile with a nuclear warhead, raising new fears about whatever his name is, Pyongyang's nuclear intentions. News of the latest test launch first appeared in Japanese media reports, citing U.S. military officials as having informed the Japanese and South Korean governments of the test launch, which took the missile about 65 miles off the North Korean coast. Later, the White House chief of staff confirmed the incident with an interview on Fox News Sunday. They've tested missiles before. This is not the first time an alleged testing of a missile, Andrew Card told Fox News. I think they're looking to kind of be bullies in the world, and they're causing others to stand up and take notice that they're not very constructive leaders, he said. I wonder who the current bullies of the world are. Seems to me that might fall right on the shoulders of George W. Bush. I don't know. What do you think about that? Or do we act like bullies by any chance? Oh, no, we're spreading democracy. Anything we do can't be considered bullyish behavior. We spread democracy to Iraq. Just look at the country. It's just enjoying all sorts of pleasantness and pastures of verdant pastures of peace and prosperity, isn't it? After we've been there, killed all those hundreds of thousands or whatever, thousands and thousands of people. Don't think it's worked, folks. Where is Osama bin Laden? Where are the culprits? Why have we just wasted this country in Iraq, crazy as it is? Well, it looks like, at any rate, the next people to suffer will be North Korea. Not that we like communists or this guy. We don't. Those guys are also against the Christian worldview, but it looks like this is just another latent assault of warmonger George W. Bush going after these folks here. So we'll keep an eye on that story, one particular war story. Another one is this rather sad behavior, the anti-Christian worldview behavior that George Bush's army promotes at Guantanamo Bay. CBS News came up with this story I thought was quite interesting, disgusting in many ways as well. So be prepared for a disgusting story. And if you have really sensitive children listening to the show, you might want to turn them away at this point. But it's marginal, I realize. It is published, after all, on CBS News. The story that Sergeant Eric Saar, a soldier who spent 3 months in the interrogation rooms at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, tells correspondent Scott Pelley, paints a picture of bizarre, even sadistic treatment of detainees at the American prison camp. Now imagine, if we're going to be Christian in our warfare tactics, how should we behave? This is something you want to ask yourself, being part of the Christian worldview. Take off the American hat, put on the Christian hat, and think about it. Okay, experts in the intelligence tell 60 Minutes that if what Sarah says is true, some soldiers at Guantanamo have undermined the war on terror, bungling the interrogation of important prisoners. 60 Minutes also reveals the previously secret emails from FBI agents at Guantanamo that warn FBI headquarters that prisoners are being tortured. I think the harm we're doing down there far outweighs the good, and I believe it's inconsistent with American values, says Saar. In fact, I think it's fair to say that it's the moral antithesis of what we want to stand for as a country. Saar volunteered for Guantanamo Bay in 2002. He was a U.S. Army linguist and expert in Arabic with a top-secret security clearance. He was assigned to translate during interrogations. The prisoners, about 600 in all, were mostly from the battlefields of Afghanistan, and Saar couldn't wait to get at them after what the administration said. The men were among the most dangerous, best-trained, vicious killers on the face of the earth. Sounds like it could also be another description of certain administration in this country. With that in mind, Saar went to work, but he was surprised by what he found. How many prisoners did he think were the worst of the worst, real terrorists? At best, I would say there were a few dozen, says Saar, a few dozen out of 600. Who were the rest of these guys? Some of them were conscripts who actually were forced to fight for the Taliban, so actually had been taking up arms against us, but had little or no choice in the matter, says Saar. Some of them were individuals who picked up by the Northern Alliance, and we have no idea why they were there, and we didn't know exactly what their connections were to terrorism. However they got there, Saar and the rest of Guantanamo's intelligence personnel were told that the captives were not prisoners of war, and therefore were not protected by the Geneva Convention. Wasn't this odd all of a sudden, the way this is transpiring? Well, it gets worse, folks. Listen to what goes on here. Not only have they made mistakes in who's there, and apparently have put people there that have nothing to do with this war on terror, the vast majority have nothing to do with the war on terror, it gets worse. He told 60 Minutes about one interrogation in particular, in which he translated it for a female interrogator who was trying to break a high-priority prisoner, a Saudi who had been in flight school in the United States. As she stood in front of him, she slowly started to unbutton her army blouse. She had on underneath the army blouse a tight brown army T-shirt, touched her breasts and said, "Don't you like these big American breasts?" she says, Saar. She wanted to create a barrier between this detainee and his faith, and if she could somehow sexually entice him, he would feel unclean in an Islamic way. He would not be able to pray and go before his God and gain that strength. So the next day, maybe he would be able to start cooperating, start talking to her. But the prisoner wasn't talking, so Saar said the interrogator increased the pressure. She started to unbutton her pants and reached and put her hand in her pants and then started to circle around the detainee. And when she had her hands in her pants, apparently she used something to put what appeared to be menstrual blood on her hand, but in fact it was ink, says Saar. When she circled around the detainee, she pulled out her hand, which was red, and said, "I'm actually menstruating right now, and I'm touching you. Does that please your God? Does that please Allah?" And then he got kind of pent up and shied away from her. Then she took the ink and wiped it on his face and said, "How do you like that?" Then the interrogator sent the prisoner back to his cell with a message. She said, "Have fun trying to pray tonight while there's no water in your cell," meaning that she was going to have the water turned off in his cell so they could not go back home and become ritually clean. So he then, therefore, could not pray, says Saar. I know that the individual that we were talking that night was a bad individual, someone I hope he's in captivity forever. I hope he never goes anywhere, but I felt awful that night. I felt dirty and disgusting, he says. Skipping down through this article, rather graphic, disgusting behavior, I know. But this is your government's army, folks. When I say your government's, I say that somewhat euphemistically. I know it's not really yours if you happen to hold to the Christian worldview or the philosophy of freedom, but this is what the army of the American government is doing to people. Another FBI document says the interrogator grabbed a detainee's thumbs and bent them backwards and grabbed his genitals. One FBI agent reported he saw a detainee had been gagged with duct tape that covered much of his head. The interrogator explained that the prisoner had been chanting the Quran and would not stop. But is this torture? Yeah, I think it's torture, and one of the FBI agents at Guantanamo thought so too. He warned FBI headquarters the military was using torture techniques. The FBI emails were uncovered and declassified in the lawsuit by the American Civil Liberties Union. The head of the ACLU, Anthony Romero, says the FBI agents were worried that military interrogators were ruining any chance of getting reliable intelligence. Well, I won't read any more of that story. It should be obvious to us, folks, that if we are, in fact, writing in support of a war of defense, for instance, as Christians, and we have a Christian worldview, we are not going to resort to this sort of tactic to sexually entice or do something of a sexual nature in an interrogation. We're also not going to randomly round people up, apparently, that have no connection to the target at hand and just take innocent people and torment them. This is a wicked thing. It's a wrong thing. And we need to stand up against this as Christians and say that we are not in favor of this sort of practice. It doesn't matter how brutal other people are. But those of us who have a Christian worldview who want to have a civil government for defense must have a civil government that does not become abusive, vindictive, and unrighteous in its behavior. It's simply wrong to be that way. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we do welcome you back to Christian Worldview today. A nice morning here in Greenville, South Carolina. It's May, second day of May. 50 degrees outside, sunny skies. Going to get up to about 71 today, a pleasant day. And a little few clouds here and there, but should be a good day as you make your way out to work. Nothing to worry about in terms of the weather today. We have a couple of interesting folks, things that the research staff have come up with this morning. One I thought I'd start out this hour with, is a letter from Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson to the Reverend Dr. Francis McFarland, Augusta County, Virginia, in 1862 on the third day of July. He says, "My dear doctor, I am very grateful to you for your prayers to God for the success of the operation which God has entrusted to me. Please continue to pray for me and the success of the troops entrusted to me. It cheers my heart to think that many of God's people are praying for our very kind Heavenly Father for the success of the army to which I belong. Without God's blessing, I look for no success, and forever, success, my prayer, it seems like I've got a glitch here, I look for no success, and forever, success, my prayer is that the glory may be given to Him who is properly due. If people would but give all the glory to God and regard His creatures as but unworthy instruments, my heart would rejoice. Alas, too frequently the praise is bestowed upon the creature, whilst we must not forget the superior importance of spiritual victories. Yet I trust you will, under God's direction, do what you can in securing the prayers of His people for the successes of our arms, especially for the success of them which are entrusted to me, an unworthy servant, but who desires to glorify His name, even if in my present military calling. My trust is in God for success. Praying for a continuation of your usefulness, I remain your much-attached friend, T.J. Jackson. Well, isn't that an interesting insight into what Stonewall Jackson thought about warfare and the providence of God and overshadowing these matters? Also asking Christians to pray for the success of the military endeavors of the Southern Army, especially the Army of Northern Virginia. Would we agree that this is the right thing to do? I would. Because why? Well, you say why? Dr. Coben is talking about a brutal war. This is talking about the war that cost more American lives than all other American wars combined. Well, that's all true. But what was the war about? It was about the Southern states defending their freedom, defending their constitutional rights, their independence from a tyrannical state headed by the nefarious Abraham Lincoln and his cronies. They were defending themselves against the tyrant. And therefore, I think they should be praying that God would honor their requests and allow them to have successfully defended their land. Why didn't God honor the prayers and allow them to win that victory and defeat the northern aggressor? I don't know the answer to that. But in the providence of God, all things did work together for good. And even though we have seen the rapid decline even since then, steady decline, I should say, of what is righteousness in this land, what is correctness, what the proper cultural norm should be. What we've seen is that the northern aggression has led to the northern victors, which have rewritten school textbooks and have caused an indoctrination program par excellence here in the South as well as elsewhere in America that has undermined the values that made America great. The vision of the Founding Fathers, the Christian worldview, the principles of the Bible, these things have all been extricated and eliminated from the public mind by the acts that started it here in that particular war. So I think Stonewall Jackson was right in praying and encouraging other people to pray for the victory in the South. And for whatever reason, God in his sovereignty did not see it, did not deem at that time at any rate right to allow the South to remain independent. Does it mean we won't become independent? How many of you would be in favor again of being able to be a free nation, not bound by the shackles of the United States government? I think there's a growing number of folks here in the South and also in the West who would be happy to be free from the tyrannical chains of the federal government. Of course, there are still many here who would not be happy with that. Many people who have moved here, or many people who are entitlement folks who are chained to the state and receiving welfare, those things might go away if indeed the South seceded again. But at this point, at any rate, it's more or less a pipe dream to even talk about secession. There's no realistic hope and aspiration that we have right now, even in the next few years, of being able to actually pull off a secession movement. I'm not talking about arms. I'm talking about politically, if that were possible at all. Certainly don't have the arms right now to do it. But at any rate, interesting to talk about. And as a Christian, I think we could support secession because of the aggressions of the North and the aggressions of the federal government intruding into our lives. Well, what do you think about that? Do you think that Dr. Coben is really off his rocker this morning, that secession is just too far, it's way out there. You can't possibly do that. Well, perhaps so, perhaps not, but we'd like to hear from you if you're interested in calling this morning. One quick story before we get to the break, and that's the Rodham Watch. Hillary gets the Catholic out of the Catholic college. School's invitation to pro-abortion senator prompts archdiocese to cease the relationship. This is reported on April 30th. A college has been stripped of its status as a Catholic institution because it invited pro-abortion Senator Hillary Clinton, a Democratic senator from New York, to give its commencement address and receive an honorary degree. Oh. According to the Archdiocese of New York, Marymount, Manhattan officials supported ending its affiliation with the Catholic Church. It said signs of the college's Catholic identity have disappeared over time, even though until Thursday it preserved its official status as Catholic, possibly to avoid alienating Catholic alumni and donors. Well, they've done that today. They've invited Hillary there. She gave the commencement speech, and they gave her an honorary degree. So much for having their Catholic affiliation. Hillary does it again. At any rate, a bit on the lighter side there, folks. Not that we're in favor of Catholic education here on Christian Worldview. Just thought I'd bring it up to you to let you know about what Hillary's been up to lately. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back after this quick break.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
We'd like all of you to be encouraged to turn out tonight for the Institute on the Constitution at South Point Baptist Church, 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 for information or to register. That's 864-269-1443. This will be the fourth of the 12 meetings tonight. It'll start about 6:30 and usually end about 8:30. Actually, the program doesn't start till 7. If you get there a little late, don't worry about it. But give Pastor Tony a call at 864-269-1443. You'll be glad you attended this meeting. Great discussion and interesting, thought-provoking material there at the Institute for the Constitution. I was there last week, and I can tell you it was a great meeting, especially the conversation surrounding the tapes, which are, you're not going to agree with everything you see necessarily, and I didn't. I told them flat out when I was at the meeting, look, you know, folks, this is a great tape that we're listening to, but on this particular point, I think the gentleman's wrong, and here's why. And we had some rousing discussion about that. We also discussed about whether Christians or why Christians should not be behind the Pledge of Allegiance at all, or salute the flag, or have allegiance to any nation, political jurisdiction in the United States. That's a controversial topic. Whether Christians should have a flag, or churches should have a flag in their sanctuary. I don't think so, and many that were there did not. So at any rate, those are kinds of the discussions that we get into there, as well as even deeper stuff about the nature of the state and whether or not the state should be punishing those who are evildoers, according to what God says is evil, or rewarding those who are good according to who God thinks are good. That's the kind of stuff you'll hear there at the Institute for the Constitution. Pastor Tony Romo, 864-269-1443 for information or to register. Hope to see you there tonight. You'll be glad if you do go. Also want to point out that the Times Examiner is a great local paper here in town. You can get a subscription, $25 a year. for this thing to be delivered to your doorstep. And Christian Exodus folks, out-of-state folks, $27 a year. Know about Greenville happenings from a from a conservative or libertarian perspective. Also get great columnists, both local columnists like Ben Graydon, myself, and Stephen Yates, among others. A homeschool column from local authors, but also nationally syndicated folks like Walter Williams and Thomas Sowell, all available at the Times Examiner every week. Give Bob Dole a call at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. And when you do, remember that the Tyranny Response Unit's articles, that's me, my articles in the current editions, or the last six editions, and this week's coming up, will be on Christian Views on Rebellion. This series has been read into recorded format on the policyofliberty.net website. If you scroll down on policyofliberty.net under the Liberty Minute section on the homepage, you'll see a recording that says Christian Views on Rebellion, highlighting the American War for Independence. If you listen to that, you'll have all the gist basically the entirety of those seven articles that have been published in the Times Examiner. They're a great prelude for getting your mind engaged about the important issues of the day before you go to the Institute on the Constitution tonight. So I'd encourage you to take some time to listen to that particular program off of the policyofliberty.net website. Well, if you're listening to us and you're surprised that we have more power this morning, that is in terms of radio range here in the upstate of South Carolina, it's because there indeed is 50% more starting today, and there will be even greater range and power frequency as the week progresses. So stay tuned. Make sure to tell your friends that indeed the TRN is now going to be available for listeners wider audience of listeners, I should say, in the upstate of South Carolina. We've got some changes in store the entire week, especially towards the end of the week. So, again, stay tuned for that upgrade. We're excited about that here. Nice to see our range has been increasing. Well, we have a couple other stories I wanted to get into here that are of fascination, like usual. We only talk about good stuff here, of course, on Christian Worldview. Here's a quotation one of our researchers sent up from Alexander Hamilton, not our favorite founder, but nevertheless a founding father. No legislative act contrary to the Constitution can be valid, he says. A constitution is, in fact, and must be regarded by judges as fundamental law. If there should happen to be an irreconcilable variance between the two, the Constitution is to be preferred to the statute. And he said that in Federalist number 78. Indeed, excellent quotation. But then what's been happening, do you suppose, in America when it comes to things like the Declaration of Independence? Apparently it's not doing very well. The Declaration lawsuit proceeds, a handout of the Jefferson's document barred in California due to God reference. This was posted on WorldNet Daily on April 30th. A federal judge allowed a history teacher's lawsuit to proceed against school district officials who barred him from providing supplemental handouts to students, including the Declaration of Independence, because the historical documents contained some references to God and religion. Defendant Patricia Vidmeyer, principal of Stevens Creek School, reportedly ordered Williams to submit his lesson plans and supplemental handouts to her for advance approval. Aside from Williams, a Christian, no other teachers were subject to the advanced screening requirement, according to the Alliance Defense Fund. Deemed as unfit for the students by Vidmar were excerpts from the Declaration of Independence, the diaries of George Washington and John Adams, the writings of William Penn, and various state constitutions. Throwing aside all common sense, the district has chosen to censor men such as George Washington and documents like the Declaration of Independence, said ADF Senior Counsel Gary McCaleb in November. The district's actions conflict with American beliefs and are completely unconstitutional. McCaleb said that less than 5% of all Williams supplemental handouts distributed through the school year contained references to God and Christianity. California's education code does not allow references in religion or references to or the use of religious literature. So anyway, we have here the Declaration lawsuit proceeding, and there is a follow-up to that as well off of WorldNet Daily. Is the Declaration of Independence unconstitutional? The school district is sued for censoring the founding documents. This originally came out in 2004. This was the initial case. And they were talking more about this woman, Patricia Vidmar, principal of this school, who ordered Williams to submit his lesson plans. Who was a Christian, of course, and being persecuted probably for that as well, as the fact that he is was teaching the Declaration of Independence. Excerpts from the Declaration of Independence, the diaries of George Washington, John Adams, the writings of William J. Penn, were against the public interest, she said. Well, are they really? Well, first of all, why, if it's just part of American history, do we want to exclude it from history books in the first place? But second of all, we're not talking about just some trivial documents here. We're talking about the message of the Founding Fathers. We're talking about the coveted and important Declaration of Independence. Folks, the left hates this document. They do not want us to remember that it exists. We can look at it, but we can't read it. The left does not like the thing at all. And what do you expect in a public school anyway? What do you expect in the state of California's court system to be the outcome over the about the Declaration of Independence? If you got your kids in a public school, more reason to get them out. But also, let's beware, Christians, those of us who have a Christian worldview, who love the vision of liberty of the Founding Fathers, it is being undermined step by step by the left, by those who hate liberty, who hate the vision of the Founding Fathers. And this is a great example of it with this declaration case proceeding in California. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Now here's an interesting story from the Washington Times on May 1st. The left aims to smite theocracy movement. New York, secular humanists and leftist activists convened here over the weekend to strategize how to counter what they contend is a growing political threat from conservative Christians. Understanding and answering the religious far right that propelled President Bush's reelection is the key in preventing the theocracy from governing the nation, speakers argued at a weekend conference. This is promoted by something called the Open Center, a New York City institution focused on holistic learning. The religious right, they say, now has unprecedented influence on American politics and policy. It is incumbent upon us all to understand as precisely as possible its aims, methods, beliefs, theology, and psychology. The Open Center, founded 21 years ago, has played a host to the two-day conference at City College in New York called Examining the Real Agenda of the Religious Far Right. This may be the darkest time in our history, said Bob Edgar, General Secretary of the left-leaning National Council of Churches. Do you really think these people are going to let us secede from the Union, by the way? This is the way many Northerners think, and people in some of the bigger cities on the left coast think, people. Scary. The United States is not yet a theocracy, Joan Bocour, founder of TheocracyWatch.org, said Friday night, but she argued that the United States is beginning to fit the model of a reconstructed America. Yeah, right. Who's she kidding? We get worse all the time. Interesting how the left could have that perspective while we see clearly the exact opposite occurring, not only in politics, but in issues of morality like abortion, euthanasia, and so forth. Indecency police are a major part of theocratic states, Mrs. Buckhauer said, flashing a picture of Islamic women covered head to foot under the title Taliban, Ministry for the Protection of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice. No, actually, indecency police are part of the leftist regimes far more than they are of these so-called far-right theocratic states in Islam. I mean, the leftist police will prevent you from reading certain things. They prevent you from saying certain things. They force you to imbibe all sorts of leftist malarkey and a lot of immoral, unethical sorts of standards, as we see happening in the public school, which we read about earlier. At any rate, continuing on here, former Vice President Al Gore said in a speech Wednesday that the move against judicial filibusters is driven by an aggressive new strain of right-wing religious zealotry. Howard Dean, chairman of the Democratic National Committee, asked in a speech April 15th about the case of Terri Schiavo, the brain-damaged Florida woman, "Are we going to live in a theocracy where the highest powers tell us what to do?" Senator Ken Salazar, a Colorado Democrat, last week called Focus on the Family, the Colorado Springs Christian Advocacy Group, the Antichrist of the world. He later apologized and said he meant to call James Dobson's organization unchristian, meaning self-serving and selfish. Folks, our enemy is out there. They hate us who are on the religious right. I don't like to be called part of the religious right because I'm not a theonomist or not promoting theocracy, but I take this as a personal assault on all Christians, whatever your stripe is, as far as your denomination and so forth, or your public policy theology. These people hate us. They hate what we believe. They're working overtime to destroy what we have been trying to implement here, and it's going to take a massive upsurge and uprising against these kinds of people for us to ever expect to have any sort of victory whatsoever with them. And I'm concerned about the role of Christians in the Democrat and the Republican Party thinking they can actually turn things around. It's not going to happen. It's all part of the same problem. George Bush is still promoting the secular humanist agenda. And it's a very dangerous president for us. Don't be deceived by his lip service. To the contrary, this is a serious situation, folks. I don't know what's going to happen next for Christians here in America. We have the left on the rise, the lying left, who will abuse us in the future and has no problem with doing so. They don't have any use for Christians in society. They think. And they'd be happy to get rid of us, even as people have throughout the history of the world. Sad, but true. All right, this is a little bit of an alternative news story source, I suppose, the American Free Press. But they're reporting today something that's interesting, just food for thought. Former GOP insider says he has 9/11 smoking gun. The architect of the GOP resurgence says Boeing 737, not a 767, struck the South World Trade Center tower. This was posted by Greg Szymanski in 422 of 05. Former Republican Party insider turned Bush basher thinks he has stumbled across what may be the smoking gun, providing the U.S. government's official story, proving the U.S. government's official story about the WTC attacks is an unequivocal lie. Carl Schwartz of Little Rock, Arkansas, who several years ago began exposing corruption amongst the neoconservative movement in a book entitled A One-Way Ticket to Crawford, Texas, now has set his sights on proving the government complicity in 9/11. For years, the successful business entrepreneur and conservative Republican, once asked by the RNC to run against Bill Clinton for Arkansas governor, has been using his inside political and business clout to expose corruption among the neocons in the Bush administration. Well, we're not going to read all the details about this, but it's interesting to note just how complicit Bush might have been with the 9/11 attacks. Now, some of you believe a lot of the conspiracy theory out there, and I appreciate that. I don't know enough about it to make a judgment on it, but I'd love to talk about it. The other day, we were at California Dreaming, and someone with very good credentials was explaining to me how those buildings that fell down, like the World Trade Center and those around them, could only have been done with planned charges. That they fell, that, for instance, one building, you know, three blocks away collapsed straight down when the World Trade Center fell. And that buildings in between it and the World Trade Center were unscathed, virtually unscathed. It was also clear that the jet fuel could not have heated up the metal as hot as the press reported and caused the meltdown as it did. And instead, we might have had people planning charges so that it just they just demolished the building. Some people say that George Bush was directly involved with this. Well, I'm not willing to say that he was at this point because I don't know. But there's plenty of good evidence to say for people to have some doubt or question about it. And we'd love to talk with you about that on Christian Worldview this morning if you want to give us a call at 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Be very interesting in your insight about the World Trade Center disaster. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back after this break.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Hey, welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you're listening this morning. Here in Greenville, we have already 56 degrees. It was only 41 when we started the show, or 46, so it's really rising rapidly. Going to get up to 71 degrees today under mostly sunny skies. Should be a very pleasant day on this second day of May here in the upstate of South Carolina. We're glad you've joined us this morning. Why not have now a section of the show devoted to government failure? Yes, we have more evidence of the failures of the state and of the virtues of the free market. We always like to interject something about economics for our listeners because I believe that if people's ignorance, appalling ignorance of economic theory and how the economy actually works, leads them to end up supporting or not be against, at least, some of the bad public policies that go on today in the great nation of America. Well, one of them has to do with the success of the Minuteman movement on the border and the relative failure of the government to do what it says it's supposed to do regarding the border. Now, there is some question about whether you should even have problems with illegal immigrants. I'm not opposed to immigration at all, personally. I think that we should not, as Christians especially, want to deny other people something of the blessings of our great heritage in America. Now, other people will say, well, neither do I, Dr. Coben, but I hate illegal immigration. This is a problem. Okay. Well, illegal immigration is a symptom, not actually the problem, by and large. And I realize there are some terrorist problems, and there are some other issues with Aslan coming over here to try to repatriate parts of America to Mexico. And that issue is a real issue, but it's very different than the immigration issue. Immigrants come here, illegally or otherwise, because they can get jobs here and because they get welfare state benefits here. If the incentives were changed in the system so that they wouldn't want to come, then they wouldn't come unless they wanted to do like the immigrants have always done here, come and flee their old country, learn the new language, assimilate, and actually become productive members of the American society, if I can put it that way. That is no longer happening because of state distortions, and nevertheless, people are calling upon the government who's caused the failure to solve the problem. This is a rather ludicrous idea, in my view. But at any rate, this border vigil ends on wary note article came out in the Washington Times. I thought this was interesting. This showed up yesterday. Every night, illegal immigrants head north across the retirement hideaway that Mrs. Faust and her husband Ed own 4 miles down the highway near the U.S.-Mexico border in Arizona. You have no idea how much safety and quiet you have given to us and how grateful we are that you are here, she says to the Minuteman Project volunteers struggling to maintain her composure. Since the Minutemen arrived, we've been able to sleep at night, and that's no small task. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? To get this thing fixed, but the illegals will return. Law enforcement authorities and residents of the area say the route to the United States through this region of Arizona desert is well-established, convenient to major northbound highways, and familiar territory to the alien smugglers or coyotes who frequent the area. This is not about violence or racism or hate, but the rule of law, and none of us are looking to hurt anyone, says Bob Wright, owner of a butane factory in Hobbs, New Mexico, who helped scout out observation posts for the Minuteman volunteers. The situation on this border is a tragedy, both for America and for Mexico. So here we have an example of government failure, yet the free market, people able who wanted to protect their property rights, are able to do so without the use of the state. Should be an interesting note to us, and no matter how we fall specifically on the immigration issue, the government has failed to do what people in the private sector seem to be very capable of doing. Fascinating. Here's another government failure story. This actually came out in the local Greenville paper, the Greenville News. Addicts claim or clamor for hard-to-get medicine. Health professionals press for wider access to methadone alternative. This actually came through the Associated Press wire. Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Crystal began using heroin when she was 14 and soon hit bottom. But at 18, she says she is drug-free, holds down a job, attends beauty school, and cares for her toddler son. She credits a relatively new medication called buprenorphine with freeing her from heroin's grip. Amazing, incredible, and life-saving are a few of the words addicts use to describe I'm having trouble here, folks. Buprenorphine, buprenorphine, a pill that blocks heroin cravings. The problem, some say, is that Congress has made it hard to get the drug, and health professionals are pressuring the government to expand access. Isn't that interesting that people like this thing? It's helpful to get them off drugs, and yet what is the government doing? Let's make it difficult for them to get off heroin and resolve this problem. That's the role of the state in bungling up at something else. Again, people who believe the state is there to serve the public interest are shocked by this. Those of us who have a more jaundiced view of the state, who view it as evil, nefarious, and the greatest progenitor of evil in the history of the world, aren't surprised that, yes, even our government in the United States would do such things. Here's some of the specifics of the regulation. Federal law says individual doctors and medical practices can prescribe buprenorphine to no more than 30 patients at a time, a provision aimed at preventing prescription mills where drugs are doled out by individuals or doled out indiscriminately by doctors trying to make a fast buck. So here's where the rub comes, folks. A lot of people need this drug. They need this help to get off of heroin. which is being grown in Afghanistan under the U.S. government's nose, or maybe with their approval for all I know. But at any rate, it's being grown. It's being imbibed by people by taking injections of heroin or however else they take heroin these days. And yet to get off of it, they need this new drug, which is available. And yet the government is restricting it. So only 30 people of a doctor under a doctor's care can get it. They can't prescribe more than that. That's crazy. That's what we call government failure. That's what we show. That's where government shows its true colors. And we wanted to bring it up to your notice today here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And here's a couple quick announcements for you. The Tyranny Response Network right now is expanding. If you haven't noticed, we have far more signal here in the upstate of South Carolina. People who had never heard the show before on their radios are now able to get it, and it's only going to get better. Even this week, we should be expanding and upgrading these facilities, so stay tuned for that. You should notice an increase in power even this week as we continue on. But TRN needs your help right now. If you have any old computers, even one old computer, especially if it's a Pentium 2 or higher with a monitor and a keyboard or even other equipment that you might have, we would really appreciate it being donated right now. We have a need for a couple of these computers at least, maybe more than that. And if you're just aching to get rid of something like an old computer and put it to good use, you hate to throw the thing away because you paid $2,000 for it 5 years ago and now it's not even worth 50 cents. We could certainly make use of it for some of our single-use applications. Because I actually drive one of those things. Not good in general as a computer, perhaps, anymore, but it can be good at running one or two things that would be useful for us in our broadcasting efforts at the Tyranny Response Network. So if you can, please do donate those computers to us, folks. You can do so by simply contacting by email the production staff or calling the phone number here at Christian Worldview, and we'll take the information that way and tell you where you can deliver it. In fact, you can just deliver it to the Integrity Group offices at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. It's 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. And we'll make sure that it gets in the hands of the proper folks at the production department at the Tyranny Response Network. Use computers, old computers you don't need. That's what we want right now, folks. If you can help us out, we would greatly appreciate it. Another announcement. The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work, and we thank them for doing so. Great to have them on board with us. I also want to encourage people to listen to the Political Cesspool, thepoliticalcesspool.org out of Memphis, an excellent sister broadcast run by a couple of folks, one of them being a homeschooler, 24-year-old guy with just a lot of enthusiasm and zeal. Good man. Be sure to tune in to the politicalcesspool.org on the internet. You'll be able to find the link there online how you can actually tune and listen to that show. And then finally, tonight, the Institute for the Constitution continues with its fourth meeting. Program starts at 7 o'clock, but they'll be gathering there for fellowship and thinking discussion about 6:30 p.m., and it'll go till about 8:30 tonight. That's Monday night at the South Point Baptist Church, 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 for information or to register, 864-269-1443 for information or to register. Really hope to see you there tonight. It's really worth going to. And be sure to listen to the program on policyofliberty.net under the Liberty Minute section called Christian Views on Rebellion, highlighting the American War for Independence. Before you go, it'll give you a good primer in your thinking before you get there at that great meeting tonight. Well, other articles in the news today of interest are the United States and China on an economic collision course, Carl Worden reports. I would like to remind my readers about wealth creation and what historical circumstances made the United States of America the most successful economic and military superpower of its day. In order to set out the point of this article properly in your mind, remember this. The geographical continent of the United States of America is a land of incredibly abundant natural resources. This land is rich in metals, wood, aggregates, chemicals, and agricultural commodities. No other nation had what we had waiting to be manufactured into something of value that the entire world wanted to buy. We had a government that permitted any citizen to succeed in their chosen endeavor without social, economic, or government interference. Anyone who wanted to succeed in America had the same opportunity as anyone else. And this led to tremendous creativity and productivity in manufacturing America's natural resources into goods and food the rest of the world needed. Thus, the world's riches were funneled into the United States, making our standard of living the highest and most enviable in the world. I'm not sure, by the way, this is true, what I'm reading, as I'm reading along here. Sometimes the research staff sends up stuff to me, and I don't have a time to go through it entirely. But it sounds a little bit economically dubious about what he's saying about natural resources. Hong Kong has no natural resources and is quite affluent. What makes a country rich and prosperous is a limited state and a strong work ethic. So the culture that was left by the founding fathers, both from a Christian point of view and a liberty point of view, are what fostered the great economics expansion in the United States, what gave our great prosperity. In addition to that, the rule of law, which protected property rights. And this is also a huge piece. Those things are what other nations lack that really make us great here, and which is being undermined daily by the left, I might add here. At any rate, he's going to go on and talk about NAFTA, GATT, and these things and how they're undermining America, and this is absolutely true. I'll just read the last statement in his article here. He says, I have an absolute faith in the American people. I have absolute faith in the American people. They are stupid and lazy and apathetic and ignorant. But when their discomfort level reaches the point of a critical mass, they're going to demand answers, and people like me and you will be able to honestly answer them with the truth. That's when we just might have the wherewithal to take back this nation as our founding fathers intended us to do so. Yeah, but don't think you're going to do it with a lot of public school graduates, folks. I mean, this is a pipe dream. Their discomfort level might rise, but they're not going to even know how to ask the right question. They're being so dumbed down and indoctrinated. But at any rate, the truth is that the founding fathers and framers foresaw this happening even as they wrote the Constitution. They knew a George W. Bush and a Bill Clinton and others would take measures to subvert their original intent. It was specifically for that reason they left us with the means to take back our government by force if necessary, and that was the Second Amendment. Any questions? Well, we couldn't agree with you more there. Not sure we're ready to rise up with arms yet, but we do need to remember the Second Amendment is there as our ultimate check against the tyrannical state. So I appreciate this man, Carl Worden's comments here. I think they're very appropriate. Is it okay for Christians, though, to stand up in arms? I think so. I think we can take up arms and attack a tyrannical state any more than we could. Just in the same way, if we have the ability to defend our homes against a tyrant or a robber who would intrude to try to rape and pillage and steal from us, we have a right to defend our property and our families. There's no difference, folks, really, between a tyrannical evil state and a robber or other kind of criminal that would come into your home. Now, I realize that the Bible says we are to submit to the governing authorities, just as the Bible does not say we don't have to submit to criminals that enter our homes. But I believe that those admonitions there are an expedient admonition, that obviously the apostles rebelled at times against the state or disobeyed the state, resisted the state, and we can too resist unlawful authority. And when we resist is a matter of our liberty of conscience, and it's a matter of whether or not we have the wherewithal, unlike the Romans who Paul and Peter wrote to, who did not have it, the wherewithal to actually successfully resist the tyrannical state. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Part of our hurling of liberalism with great force this last half hour has been to show how government's been failing at certain things and how markets do a better job of providing goods and services that people want. And there was a story that came out last week I've been saving for some time from the Associated Press on the highway bill that faces a veto threat. The Bush administration yesterday issued a veto threat against a highway bill. This would be April 27th, 2005, saying the president would likely reject any legislation that exceeds a White House set spending ceiling for or adds to the deficit. The administration, in saying the legislation should exhibit funding restraint, is at odds with many in Congress, including some conservatives, who say the deteriorating state of the nation's roads, bridges, and public transportation demands more aggressive spending. A $284 billion in six-year period for the highway. This is a Senate Finance Committee Chairman Charles E. Grassley, Iowa Republican, and the top Democrat on the panel, Senator Max Baucus of Montana, are working on an amendment that would boost the spending level to about $300 billion. They say they can do that without raising the deficit by cracking down on fuel tax fraud or closing tax loopholes, but it's not clear whether the administration will agree with that assessment. At any rate, the idea is, of course, for people like roads. If somebody could ask, well, what thing do you really appreciate about your government the most? I think probably number one or two on the list of most people that I've ever asked that question to, at least, has been, "Oh, governments provide great roads for me to drive on." Well, there's no reason to believe that only governments can provide roads. In fact, in many places in the world, we have private highways that are constructed by people that are not, you know, non-government agents. And before the governments took over road building, the free market provided roads here in America prior to World War I specifically. Anyway, continuing on in this article quickly, Oklahoma Republican said, those of us, and this is James and Hoffey, those of us who are conservatives really believe this is something we should be doing here. They're really trying to get votes, as far as I can tell, because there's no reason that we have that we need to have roads. Now, would I rather have roads built by the government rather than the Iraq war? Well, sure. I mean, who wants to spend $300 billion on the Iraqi war and kill a bunch of people and do all this nonsense we've done over there in the Middle East? You know, I don't. That's one of the worst things we could have done. It's better to do something innocuous with the loot, like building roads. But nevertheless, I don't want to have both things. Let's let the markets build roads, folks. We don't need to have government doing this whatsoever. But Dr. Coben, how would you ever get roads built if the free market had to do it? Well, it's a lot easier than you would think, folks. Free markets are very responsive to consumer needs, and if people need to get a road built, they will find a way to do it. Entrepreneurs will rise up who have expert knowledge in the area, not only to construct the thing, but to get the land purchased they need to get purchased. There'll be the right width. The toll would be assigned at the correct price that people would be willing to pay. It will go the proper route, the most efficient way. These things are what markets bring us. They do not bring us unfinished bridges and roads that go to places to benefit political appointees or their friends. For instance, no surprise that a major freeway might go by the land of a cousin of a congressman that just happens to purchase hundreds of acres cheap, and the interstate highway ends up going right by there. This is part and parcel of the political process. This kind of corruption, these kinds of payoffs. Anyway, Bush is still threatening to veto this thing. I hope that he does. But at any rate, that is an issue that should be addressed and thought about by Christians in the Christian worldview. Don't just assume that government, because government can build a road, it should, or it's the most efficient thing to do. Here's an article that was forwarded by the research staff, Roads Without the State, that came out of the Freeman, Ideas on Liberty, in January 1998 by a man named Peter Samuel. He was the publisher of Toll Roads, a monthly newsletter. Can there be roads if the government doesn't build them? The first roads were probably not even made by humans, but by animals. Herds of buffalo, deer, and other grass foragers pushed aside the shrubs and trampled down the grass to make tracks for their mass migrations, tracks that humans exploited. Many of the first man-made improvements to these tracks were made by the military because the deployment of armies depended heavily on reliable supplies. There's a saying that among military logisticians, that soldiers fight on their stomachs. So in order to keep those stomachs filled, armies needed wheeled carts to bring in the supplies of grain, meat, and other provisions to sustain the bodily energy of the morale and the morale of the soldiers. Military engineers were among the first road and bridge builders. Because the state depended on the military for its survival, it's always been interested in roads. So tension has always been has always existed over the role of the state in assuring good roads. They have always served state and private purposes together. Thomas Jefferson and his initiative, the 1785 Land Ordinance Act, specified that on land in the territories beyond the original 13 state farmers and were required to deed 33-foot strips on either side of the boundary to provide 66-foot rights of way for roads. Similar things happened in the Homestead Act in 1862 under the Lincolnite Congress. The state was involved to adjudicate rights and responsibilities. And it was another kind of utility, the Postal Service, that enshrined the Constitution and the interest of the U.S. government in roads. The Founding Fathers apparently gave federal government broad powers over almost any roads in theory. It's one thing to be granted a power, it's another to raise the funds to exercise it. And this was a great mistake, we believe. Well, this article is an excellent article, and if you go down and get a chance to read this old article from the Freeman, you can find it online at fee.org. You'll be able to read why private roads are the best way, and that governments do not need to build roads. It's an interesting concept, but again, foreign to many of our thinking, who've been basically misled into believing only governments should be can effectively build roads in cities or elsewhere. So hope you read that article and realize when you see these road projects come up that quite often people in various districts are trying to get votes from their constituents, and that they are just pork barrel kinds of projects. Well, you've been listening to Christian Worldview today with Dr. John Coben. We're glad that you've joined us. We're glad to bring some of these nifty ideas to your attention. I want to remind you again, if you have an old computer you can donate to the Tyranny Response Network, we do need that computer. If you can bring it by 514 Pettigrew Street. That's 514 Pettigrew Street to the Integrity Group, and we'll make sure the Tyranny Response Network gets it. We need them right now, so if you have an old computer and can bring it by this week, we would greatly appreciate that. Also, remember to come to the South Point Baptist Church tonight at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzert for the Institute on the Constitution. For information or details, call Pastor Tony Rome at 864-269-1443. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad that you did, and we'll see you again tomorrow morning for another edition of the show. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.